Praise the Lord. Thank God that those songs aren't just entertainment, they're true. Praise the Lord. That's our hope this morning. Well, one thing I wanted to do, I have a tendency when I get up here to have my mind focused on what I'm thinking about, but I also wanted to mention an announcement. Many of you remember that in several past years, we have actually had a day of prayer for schools. And this year there's another one, and it's coming up next week. I'll have to double check the time. I think it's something like 4:30, but I'll announce that next week, Lord willing. But that's where we gather at the school, public or private, of our choice at the flagpole, and there's a joint prayer and then prayer walking. I tell you, everything about our society needs prayer. But there's an opportunity, if we'll give ourselves to the Lord, just to make a difference. Because there are believers among the teachers and among the administrators of some of these schools, and boy, that's getting to be more and more lonely place. We see what's happening in the world. Well, I've had a lot of thoughts go through my mind, and I'm just trusting the Lord with this. Of course, that's not a new thing. You need to be trusting the Lord all the time. But I feel especially inadequate, and yet, isn't that the foundation of everything? We are inadequate. We can't live, we can't serve, we can't do anything unless He does it in and through us. So that's my prayer this morning, that the Lord will absolutely take over and just have His way. I'd like to read a scripture that we often read. I just want to focus in a particular way today, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6. Carl, I'm sorry, I guess I have your affliction this morning. But anyway, this is where Paul, after talking about so many aspects of truth and encouragement that the believers needed, he says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And then he goes on to describe the armor. But my focus is on the fact that we have talked about a number of times the reality of this world and what it's about. And, of course, we'll get to how it affects us, because it's not just information about the world. We need something that will help us right where we're at in our Christian walk. But the fact is, there is an unseen kingdom. We see the kingdoms of the world, the presidents, the emperors, the kings, whatever they are, prime ministers, and the various levels of government, the armies of the world. We see all those things visibly. We think of this capital city and that one and wars, and we think in a very physical way, but there is an unseen kingdom that's very real. And I feel like the Lord wants us to delve into this a little bit more than perhaps we have and become a little more conscious of what it is that Paul is talking about when he says to take on the armor because we wrestle not and so forth. What does that mean? Well, for the world, it means that this world is, as we have often pointed out, under the control of the enemy. There is an unseen kingdom that literally rules over the hearts of men. It blinds their minds. It causes them to be under his power, unaware of the Lord and his purposes and his kingdom. But I wonder many times if this isn't just a kind of a vague idea. Okay, there's a kingdom out there, and you know, we see its effects in this broad general sense. But I believe the Lord wants us to get back to where we are conscious of the fact that that breaks down into individual members of that kingdom. We call them demons. We call them evil spirits, devils, whatever you want to call them. You know, we think about earthly governments and we say, Putin attacked, you know, was it Ukraine? Don't get old. Putin was sitting there in probably in a bunker or a secure location in Moscow, and he didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't the one out there pulling the triggers and throwing the bomb, dropping the bombs and all of that. He was, but yet we say he did it. There are a lot of things where we read in the scripture about the devil. You know, resist the devil. Well, I think we have to realize, if we're honest, that the Lucifer, the person we know as the devil, does not literally come down and bother us as individual believers or individual people. Now, he does interact with humanity, but that's, when it's talking about the devil, it's talking about his kingdom. And there are hordes of literal spirit beings who serve his interests and who affect the lives of individual people. You know, there was a time when the Lord was visiting the church here in an unusual way. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that. It's not what we're about. But it was real. And we became very conscious of the activity of demon spirits and how they affected people. In some cases, it was demon possession. But there were many others where, you know, you saw that there were, you could see the effect of something, but then you realize, hey, there's a spirit behind it. And I know it's an uncomfortable subject in many ways, and usually when you bring up something like this, it says, oh, don't talk about that. It's just people's personalities. And, you know, it's just kind of, where does that wisdom come from? Yeah. We've got a kingdom of spirits that literally have a plan and a purpose to dominate humankind. They would love if they could, to drive out God and all of his people from this earth, and Satan would have his hands completely on everything and everybody. That's what he would like. Thank God for the blood that was shed on that cross. Thank God that he was defeated. You know, in the message that we preached, and the one in the MCM, Things the Devil Knows, he knows that his time is short, and he knows he doesn't have the power. But that doesn't mean we don't have to have some understanding in this area. Because spirits do affect people. Now, I know one of the things that, as soon as you get into that, you get into questions about demon possession and oppression and all that kind of stuff. Frankly, I don't care about trying to sort all that out. All I know is the devil will affect any person that he can, to any degree he can. If it's just a matter of whispering in their ear and shaping their thinking and encouraging their motivations in a wrong sense, and it's all from out here, well, that's part of it. But if it gets to the point where spirits gain such an access to a person that they come to live in that person, you know that happens literally? Yeah, I mean, we know from Scripture, certainly, that they literally can be taken over. And then you get cases where someone's totally out of control, and like when Jesus saw the man in the tombs there, he talked, but the person that talked back to him was not the man, was it? It was one of the many spirits that were living inside the man that had such control that he literally was able to exercise the man's mind, his body, his tongue, everything about him. It was not the person, it was the spirit. You know that's real? You read the headlines every day, and it's pretty obvious what's happening in the world. And you think about Mary Magdalene, one of the characters, one of the ladies who went around and no doubt cooked food and helped take care of the disciples and Jesus when they traveled around. But what does it say about her? Out of her went seven devils. What does that literally mean? If somebody had seen her someplace, they would say, there is a woman, and there is her name is Mary, and so Mary lives inside this human body that I see before me. But Mary wasn't alone. Before Jesus came along, there were seven other personalities. You know, demons have names. They are real beings. And, you know, we've had testimony recently and from time to time of incidents where people have been able to see demon spirits. They are real. Now, I want to very quickly point out that all of this is not to inspire fear. The demon spirits do not have the power to just come and, you know, like some kind of monster, gobble you up and take over. They've got to work behind the scenes. They have got to use strategy, which is one thing Paul talks about here. They have got to work almost like a guerrilla force, if you will. They've got to be behind the scenes, unrecognized. I'll tell you, this world is totally, is it not, under the control of the devil? Do they not live under his dominion? Are they not blind? That's the world that we live in. And people do not know where their ideas, where their motivations come from. And you literally have spirits whose job it is to go around and study people. Do you know there are spirits that study you and me? Why? What's going on? What's that about? The devil is looking for any kind of a weakness, any kind of an opening that's there. And of course, we know that people are unique, aren't they? We're not the same as each other. And you have people that are more intellectual, and you have others that are more emotional, and all kinds of different variations of human personality. Well, the devil is going to study each person, say, now, where's the weakness here? How can I get to them? How can I begin to inject my influence into their minds and their hearts? And, you know, you can almost see, I don't know if this, how literal this is, but you can almost see spirits going around with a notebook, studying somebody. It's as real as if they were doing that. This is not fantasy. There are people the Lord has allowed to know these things and then come and be able to tell us because the Lord pulled them out of that. This is real. But there are devils that literally will study you and say, you know, there's a weakness here. Hey, you spirit of fear, come here. There's a weakness. It's in the family. And I want you to take this person and work on that. And I want you to just keep ministering that and get a degree of influence and control over their lives. I want you to weaken them. And as you do, I want you to kind of pay attention and study them. Because other weaknesses are going to show up, and then maybe we can bring in a spirit of something else and all these things, and we're going to get control. See, I don't care whether it's the degree that where you have to put somebody in an asylum or whether it's somebody that looks respectable. There are plenty of people who look respectable in our society, and you don't have any idea that they are under the control of Lucifer in their thinking and their actions. It doesn't have to be some crazy crime that makes it obvious. If the devil has got somebody to the point where they love this world, any aspect of it, whether it's the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, or the things that they can see, the lust of the eyes, he's going to take control. Now you think about the man that came to Jesus and he wanted to become part of the kingdom. But Jesus knew he had an idol. And so he said, here's what you do. You sell everything you have, you give it to the poor, and then you come, take up your cross and follow me. Well, what happened? He walked away, sadly. There was a weakness in his life. Now, anybody looking on would have think, there's a respectable guy. He's wealthy. He's successful. God's blessed him. Isn't that awesome? Do you think that that was just an interaction between Jesus and a human being, or was there the influence of the enemy that had built up to the point where there was a stronghold in his life? Folks, that's the world that we're dealing with. And you can see it unfolding. I was thinking about things the Lord has shown us in the past. And one of them has to do with things the Lord showed us back in the 60s when he talked to us in so many ways about the loosing of Satan. And it was portrayed. Now, I don't know how literal every detail was, but there was more than one revelation where someone saw a horde of demons in a place of confinement, then released, and then began to see the effects of those hordes of demons going out and the effect that they started having on people. Now, some of it was obvious effect. I remember one of the one of the scenes was like a man driving a car and driving very normally, and then all of a sudden a dark figure came close to him and began to talk to him, and he began to drive real crazy. One of the others was almost amusing in a way, but not really. You remember the one where there were two people arguing? Some of you remember that. And the person who saw this scene saw a dark figure who would whisper in the ear of one of the people, and they would blast it all out. And then that same dark figure would run over to the other person and do the same thing, and was going back and forth. That devil was having a blast just keeping people arguing. We don't have any idea what's going on behind the scenes because we're in a place where we don't see. Now, I've debated using this illustration because, you know, I have, like many of you, I've probably seen a lot of Star Trek stuff in the past, and I'm certainly not upholding that as something that I'm promoting. They have their own agenda. They have their own worldview, and it's certainly not a Christian one. But there was one episode I remember years ago in one of the series where there was an alien race that invaded the starship that they were on, but they had the power to make themselves invisible. And so all of a sudden, these mysterious things started happening to the crew. And they would get a pain, or they would some ailment. They would get sick, and they were trying to, what in the world is going on? We don't understand this. And one of the members of the crew, however, had the power to see what was going on. And, of course, in the story, she engineered eventually for them to become visible and all get sorted out. But what a picture that is, in a way, of what's really happening in our world. There is a real, these are real beings with real names, and they get right down to the individual level, and they try their best to influence people, and they are successful when it comes to the world in one degree or another. And yet they hide their presence. If they came and just made everybody act totally insane, it would kind of become obvious. But when they can build a society that looks like it makes sense and has a degree of order to it, and there's a philosophy that goes along with it, it kind of hides what's really going on. There is a power that is very real that rules this planet. And you remember how Paul spoke early in the book of Corinthians, and he talks about how we have been brought out, we have been delivered, I think is the word, I have to look it up, but delivered from the power or the dominion of darkness. And what? Brought into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, I believe. Praise God. But I tell you, those are the only alternatives, by the way. If there's somebody who has never come to Christ and put your faith in what he accomplished on the cross, surrendered your life, and you're serving him, you're part of his kingdom, you are part of this kingdom of darkness that will ultimately be destroyed. Those are the only alternatives. And so I just appeal to anybody who hears this, and that's where you're at. You need a Savior. You have no power. There are things that happen in your life that you don't understand. He understands. There's things that are going on you don't know, and you need a Savior to open your eyes and set you free from that power. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants us to be just a little more aware of some of these things. The Lord has many times emphasized the secrets of Christian living, and it talks about faith and talks about the Word and coming, you know, being filled with that and seeking the Lord. Last week about coming to the Lord and listening, having a listening ear and seeking him. All of that is part of it. But you can do all of that and need this. Amen. You know, I was very blessed, as I know all of you were who were there. At the last meeting of the convention, there was a call, there was a pull by God's Spirit for people who had needs to come and seek the Lord and seek prayer. But I wonder, no, I don't wonder anymore, where the source of these needs is, what the source is. Do you suppose there's a reason that Paul wrote this? Do you think there's maybe just a little bit of a reason? You know, I'll drop this thing in there. You know, you remember Brother Thomas dealt with some cases of demon possession, and there were instances where he literally was talking and forcing the demon to talk about things. And the demon had such possession, it was the demon he was talking to through the person's mouth. And one time, just to give you an idea of the character of the spirit you're dealing with, he talked about how the devils love to torment children. And the demon was just, oh, I love to see them cry. Oh, it's just like that was their food. Isn't that what the scripture says? What happened when Satan fell? What was his destiny? We've talked about that in the past. The only possible pleasure, if you want to call it that, that he can possibly gain is to gain such influence upon a human being that through their nature, through their flesh, he can participate in what they're doing, and that becomes his food. Think about that. Devil's trying to eat people for lunch. Okay? And I'll tell you, that's what's going on in this world. The devil is seeking something where he can feed that nature of his, that evil nature. Think about the man that Jesus talked about on one occasion. We talked about the man out of whom, you know, a spirit left. Spirit went away. And he went into what he called dry places. And what was he seeking? Seeking rest. Did he find it? No. There's no way for a demon to find any kind of satisfaction anywhere else except through human beings. And so what he did eventually was to say, he went back to check out the house, the body of the man that he had lived in. Well, he found it empty. It's a dangerous thing just to get devils out but not get Christ in. All right? So this man was still empty. So what did he do? He went and he got 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they went in there and lived, and the last state of the man was worse than at the beginning. So now instead of a man and one demon, he's got a man and 9 demons, or 8 demons, whatever it is. All those personalities living, inhabiting that same. You wonder where all these multiple personalities come from? They're real. You know, like was pointed out recently in a message we heard, when the Lord talked to that man who'd come out of the tombs, what is your name? Well, there was only one spirit literally talking through that man, but it was obvious that he was not the only one there, because when Jesus said, what is your name, singular, he said, legion, for we are many. So he was speaking on behalf of all the other inhabitants. Folks, this is the world you live in. We need to be aware of it. Okay? And you can go on and on and on talking about the effects of spirits and all of that. But I'm more interested in how this affects us. And the Lord's kind of gotten my attention with some of the scriptures that we read, and this is one of them, obviously. But the Lord will say something like, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and so forth. He doesn't say resist the bad thought. Doesn't say resist your nature. Obviously, those things are involved. But the focus is not on all the things that we would like to focus on and just forget all that demon stuff. That's just scary. By the way, the Lord is not talking about this to scare anybody. The fact that he has to sneak around to do his dirty work should tell us that we're the ones in the position of power, that we have a choice, and especially if he has delivered us from that power and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves. Okay? So there is no reason for anyone to be afraid like there's a monster. Okay? So let's just put that aside. But the Lord does want us to understand in a deeper way than we do. And I just want to throw this all out here today and pray that God will bring us to a deeper level of freedom. Because I believe with all my heart that many of the needs, if not most of them, that people come for, and what's, you know, there's a problem in my life, there's a bondage, there's this, there's that. Where's that coming from? And it's awful easy to say, well, that's just my human nature, that's just this, that's just habit of thinking, that's just, and all those things are involved, but they are more symptoms of an influence. Because the devil knows he cannot take us and steal us from Christ. If you've really been born and he lives in you, he can't steal you and destroy you. Thank God. But he can sure do a lot of bondage. You know, I was at one point when I was thinking about all this, I was picturing a scene. Many of you have probably at some time in your life seen a movie version of Dickens' Christmas Carol. And you remember the scene near the beginning where Marley's ghost appears to Scrooge? What's the scene? How is that depicted? He's this ghostly figure, first of all, but he has chains all over him. Oh, these are the chains I forged in life. Well, it's kind of amusing in a way, the way it's portrayed, but isn't there something real about that? The devil would like to put chains on every one of us to the extent that he can. And I fear that more of the time than we realize, there are chains. The things about which we struggle. We might need to go back a little deeper than we sometimes go. It's not a better formula. It's more than just information. There has to come a time when God's power comes into play to set us free from something that is a power that's come against us. This is not just some fantasy, folks. Do you believe this stuff is real? Do you believe there are literal spirits that study you and me looking for opportunities? And I wonder how many times the opportunities are there because we've been born into a family, a context of some kind, and they have weaknesses. They have chains in their lives. And there's an effect. They have an opportunity right there to affect children that come into that environment. And so they're just programmed from youth with certain limitations, certain weaknesses, certain opportunities for the devil to hinder them. Just because he can't steal your soul and come in and all of that doesn't mean he can't attach chains. And God wants every one of us to come to that place where we recognize the chains that have bound us and where they come from. You know, one thing comes to mind, and it certainly doesn't affects a lot of people. So I'm not just thinking about any one place or person. But think about something like unforgiveness. The devil loves to promote a culture where if somebody does something wrong to me, the way I look at it is they're in the wrong, I'm right. And the only way we're going to get over that is for them to humble themselves, come to me and admit that they were wrong and ask for my forgiveness, and then I'll consider it. And you can have whole cultures in families and groups that come from that mistaken idea. Where does that come from? It certainly comes from Satan and his kingdom. There were literal spirits that went to work, maybe on grandpa and grandma, great-grandpa and grandma, way back. And there's a culture, there's a spiritual culture that has been handed down. And people are born into it. There's a lot of the stuff that afflicts our lives, we don't even aware of it. That's the whole point. The devil hides what he's doing. He'll send a friend, so-called, into your life. And you don't realize what's really motivating. There's something in control. There's a degree of motivation there. And they'll pretend to be your friend. but they'll influence you. We can do this and it'll be okay. You can think this way, you can think that way. Look at our culture. It is devoted to totally programming people's minds in ways that are absolutely anti-Christian, anti-Christ. And God wants us to be a lot more aware than we are. And it's not just aware in the sense of, well, I see what's wrong with them. I see what's wrong. We need to be able to get to the point where we look in the mirror and say, God, why is this the case in my life? What's going on? I need you to do something for me that's never happened. I need you to open my eyes because I need to be free. If we can't be free ourselves, how can we help other people? We don't need just better sermons and better information. I need Christ. I need His power to come in because there is no way. Let's suppose that I have allowed. Well, I don't have to suppose. There are areas where I know I have a need and I know God's opening my eyes to see them and see it in a deeper way. Things that have bugged me and gotten in my way over all my life. But He's helping me to recognize where that came from. Here's the thing. If the devil gets any kind of degree of influence over your heart and your life, he can only do that if he can get you to agree with him. Now, that may be ignorance. It may be just weakness. And he hides behind every kind of facade you can think of. But the reality is, if there is a hold in your life, at some point you opened the door and gave him permission. Now, here's another illustration that came to my mind. We know something on the human level about criminal gangs. And let's suppose that you're living in an area ruled by criminal gangs. I mean, Mexico comes to mind, but it's certainly not limited to them. There's some of them that rule in parts of cities, too. But a criminal gang, obviously, they rule by fear and force, don't they? But just suppose under some kind of a circumstance, somebody from one of those gangs comes to your property and needs a room. Anytime I'm in this area, I need a place. And you let them in. How do you think you're going to get them out? Not at all. Without a lot more force than they got. That's the way it is. If the devil ever gets any kind of a place of influence in your heart and your life, you will never, ever get that out by your own power. I don't care how many spiritual formulas you come up with. There is only one thing, and it's the power that he's talking about here. We're going to have God's mighty power. And we're going to have to come to be honest with the thing. We can't say, oh, Lord, I got this terrible influence in my life. What's going on? Why am I in bondage in this area? Oh, God, break that hold. Well, you gave the devil permission to be in there in the first place. Think about the criminal gang. You opened the door. He claims that as his property, and he's not going unless he is forced to leave. Not one of us has the power to force him to leave. What God wants us to do in a deeper way is for him to open up our eyes to see why things are the way they are. To be able even to go back in time and say, Lord, show me where did this get started? Why is it this way? Lord, open my eyes to be honest. If we have opened the door to a devil, don't we need to be able at some point, as the Lord enables us and opens our eyes, to be able to go back and say, there's what happened. Maybe I was ignorant. Maybe I was just a kid. Maybe a lot of things. But the reality is, I'm the one who opened that door. Lord, cleanse me, forgive me. I come honestly, laying my need before you. But right now, I am yours, Lord. I don't belong to that devil. I repudiate everything about him. I'm not serving him. My body, my whole being belongs to you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to fill me. And because you're here, I declare that door shut. There's an eviction notice that needs to be served in a lot of our lives. Because we have allowed the devil to come in and to gain holds. Is this crazy? Anybody here need this? Yeah. I believe God wants to bring us to a greater level of victory and freedom. And there are so many tactics that he uses. So anyway, this is one of the scriptures. Boy, I thought I was going to be at some other scriptures a lot quicker. But anyway, he talks about the devil's schemes. Now look at another scripture we often refer to in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6 says, well, verse 8 is where I'm going, be alert. Now see, this is one, right off the bat, he's getting ready to talk about the devil and his effect on us. He's not talking to unbelievers. Why would he talk to Christians if this didn't matter to Christians? Be alert. Why should I care? The devil has no power over me. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Well, yeah. Would that it were so simple in a practical, everyday sense. Here's what's going on. Be alert and of sober mind. God wants us to see things the way they really are, to have an honesty about us. Your enemy, the devil, and again, he's not talking about Lucifer personally coming to every believer, but I'll tell you, he's an emissary of Lucifer. Even these little old spirits that come around and harass us, they are sent literally to do whatever damage they can, to trick us, to seduce us, to get a hold of any weakness that we have, and we got them. Let's be honest. We're not this wonderful free people that we say we are. We need a Savior. Thank God we have one. But this is part of the equation. You can do all the other stuff and get all the rest of it right, but we need to find out where we have literally fallen under Satan's power and there are chains attached to us. The Lord wants to loose those chains. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's eat. See, it upholds the same thing that we were talking about. The devil considers us food. It's all he's got. But I'll tell you, I almost feel sorry, but I don't. For a spirit that's assigned to a Christian who gets all this, man, they got a tough job. Well, let's make it tougher. Let's ask God to open our eyes so we can understand the kingdom of darkness and how it works. As I say, the devil has been studying you all your life. There isn't a person here who doesn't have something in your personality, something in your experience. You've been through something. You learned. You were influenced by something that gives them an in. Gives them a degree of a hold. And God wants to loose those, every one of those things. But we're going to have to understand it. I can think of so many things, and I'm sure you can as well, but Lord, just guide this, I pray. But you think of, it could be any of us, but I'm thinking about young people right now, I guess, and how the devil wants to tempt you to play with sin. There are things you know aren't really right. You can't imagine doing them with Jesus. But it'll be okay. It feels good. We can mess around with it a little bit. We won't go too far. You know, I'll just take a sip or a little bit of a drink, and I understand I won't be like those people over there, but I'll just mess with it. You don't toy with sin. What do you think's going on there? Do you think there's some innocent game going on? There are dark figures that are inspiring that. And when it comes to justifying it, well, I'm not going that far. I'm just, this is innocent. I'm just messing around. And after all, it's all taken care of. Jesus' blood covers my sins. And I can always get forgiven if I go too far. And, oh God, how many times do we go through the same cycle of falling into a weakness and then saying, oh God, help me. And the Lord's had to take me back to, you know, where some of this is, and I'm sure there's be more to come, but has had to take me back to where some of this stuff got started. Why am I like this? Why do I struggle in this area as much as I do? Well, there's a reason. I got programmed way back, maybe as a kid. There were ideas, there were desires, there was something that was stirred up. It wasn't right, it wasn't good. And I kept playing with it. And I'd get in a weak place. The devil loves to take advantage of people when they get tired. Of course, he'll make you tired in the first place. But what's his game? Yeah, break us down. Get us to a point where we don't have much resistance, and maybe we start to feel a little bit sorry for ourselves. Where does that wisdom come from? Yeah. And then we go eat the proverbial box of chocolates, and we, you know, we begin to give in a little bit. Well, it's okay. And you know, you see what's going on, though. There's a process of just influence that's coming, and you know it's not God if you stand back and look. You know there's no way this is coming from God. But is it just random thoughts? Or do we recognize that there's a reason the Word of God says resist the devil? There is a real personality involved in these kinds of things. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he just didn't say, oh, that's a bad thought, I think I'll quote the Word. Now, obviously, in his case, it probably was the devil. It was. But Jesus addressed the spirit, not the sentiment, not the idea. He addressed the spirit. How do we overcome the devil? Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's when God's word becomes resident. We're listening. We're hearing that voice, that creative power that wants to change us on the inside. We're hearing it, and it's changing us. But that becomes not just something we know in our heads, but something we confess with our hearts. I am His. You can tell me all about what I'm not, but I am His child. I have been given a brand new heart and a new life. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. It isn't dependent on who I am and what I am and what I've accomplished. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But devil, that's my stand. I'm standing on what God has said and what God has promised, and that's the end of it. You have no authority here. This is what God says, that's where I'm standing. And then you don't hang on to any part of your life, even if He kills you. Because that's all He can do. Give us a quick ticket to heaven. He cannot destroy or separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And God has given us everything we need. But I believe with all my heart God wants to take us to deeper levels. You think of pornography. It is rampant and super available in our society. Used to be it was the little magazines that had the covers on them and boys would get them and mess with them and snicker and all of that kind of stuff. But it's everywhere now. You think it's all innocent to mess with that? I'm curious about this little thing. I'm curious about that. Where does that wisdom come from? Do you not see that there's a figure, there's a person with a name talking to you? You know, we think of God speaking to us. Well, God is a spirit. You don't see Him. But we know that He has the power to speak in our hearts and in our minds. Does not the devil or devils, demons, do not they have a certain amount of power to inject thoughts and wisdom and words? Well, God's words are spirit and life. They have life-changing power. It's not simply the ideas behind the words. It's when He speaks, there's life infused. But what happens if the devil is the one who does the talking? Are we not partaking of something that affects our spirit? Is it not like spiritual poison that begins to blind and begins to bind and begins to attach those chains? May God help us to talk to Him about these things. I didn't have any particular sense of where we wanted to go in terms of the service beyond starting a conversation. I believe the Lord wants to come in greater power. We can go along and uphold our traditions and our ideas and our doctrines and our way of doing things. You can do that and just die eventually. We need the presence and the power of Christ, but we need Him to come and in delivering power so that lives can literally be set free, chains can fall, prison doors can be opened. Is that not what Jesus came to do? Yeah, there may be those cases where you've got demon possession and demons have to be driven from a person's life and they're brought to Christ. You've seen that in the past. But I'll tell you, believers have problems with demons too. He can inject all kinds of bondage into your life and you wonder, how in the world? What's going on? I don't understand. I try. Well, you can try all you want. We need divine power. We need God to literally put His finger and give us understanding. I pray that there will be those who get this, many, who will join me in saying, God, you're going to have to help us in this area. I'm not looking for a show. I'm not looking for anything other than you to be real and to set me and the people free in a deeper way so that we can not only be free ourselves, but we can be in a position to say, I know what it's like to be in bondage. I know what it's like for the power of God to set me free. And I know the one who set me free can set you free. We can be instruments of God to help other people. Are there not people who need Him? Who need to be delivered? May God give us power. May God give us a heart in that direction. I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to anybody here. We need the Lord. We need Him to come back in a greater power. I'm not looking to recreate the visitation. That was God, something God did. But there's a reality of the power of God that was meant to reside in His church. Does He not want to use manifest gifts of the Spirit? That's not something to put on a show and glory in. That's something that just gives God the opportunity to use people to help other people. That's what it's all about. He gives us supernatural power to be a blessing to one another. That's all that's about. May God help us, bring us to a place of greater freedom. You believe He wants to do that? Do you believe He will if we ask Him? And then a hard one, are you willing to say, God, take me back if necessary to that traumatic thing that happened to me that I've never gotten over? That something that happened where I, in weakness or in ignorance and whatever, I opened the door and I gave Satan a room and there he is and I can't get him out. And I don't know why. Why can't I just make him go? Well, we're going to have some repentance. We're going to have some honesty that says, Lord, I get why that happened. I agreed with him. I invited him in, and he's not going to leave willingly. There is no devil in this world that's going to leave willingly. There is only power that's going to make them go. And we're going to have to be 100% on the Lord's side to have that kind of power. But it's there. It's there, the cross that we sung about this morning. It's real. The kingdom of God is real. The kingdom of Satan is real. But the kingdom of God is above all. And when He brought us out and raised us from the dead with Christ, He seated us with Him in heavenly places. Like we've said, the devil knows that. We're the ones who don't know it. We don't live like that. We live by what we see and what we feel. God, get me out of that. And when I'm having a battle, help me to realize it's not just my feelings and wrestling with all that kind of stuff. Is there's a devil talking to me. I have every right to point him to the cross. I have every right to remind him of where I stand and the fact that I'm not here because I'm anything. He has no authority over me because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty at the cross. I stand in his power and in his name. Devil, you get out of here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And does not Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, when he's giving the instructions, practical instructions about what it means to live out the new life, the new creation life, one of the things he says, don't give place to the devil. Or don't give the devil any room. Doesn't that tell you where our problems come from? We give him that room. He can't just come in and take over. He has got to get our agreement in some area. That's why I need the Lord to enlarge, to change my thinking, to give me that sense of serving him and being more alert and aware. How can I be alert if I don't even know what's going on? How can I discern what's going on if God doesn't give me his wisdom? I need to see things through God's eyes, including me and my needs. And I'll tell you, the more God gives us that freedom, the more we're going to be vessels that he can use in this crazy hour in this broken world. God has a people. He's got a people right here that we need him. We need him in deeper ways than we've known. But he's there. He's willing. The price has been paid. The king sits on a throne. And he longs for us to come to him. But we're going to have to understand some of this side of it too. Demons are real. You don't have to sit there and be scared of spooks. You know, we've had demons try to come and try to scare people, scare children. Had several testimonies of that. Well, we need to realize that those devils have no power. That's the only power they can do, is try to make you scared. They have no real power unless we give it to them. So let's stop giving it to them. Let's ask God to give us the spirit to speak the truth and demand that they leave in the name of Jesus. Take their whatever hands off of us and off of our children. And I'll tell you where there are things that have been handed down through families. There are conditions. There are, what's the word? Anyway, there are ways that people live and think that are literally handed down in families. Well, don't we have the right to say, let that end with this generation? It doesn't have to go on. Let this be the end of that. Devil, you've afflicted my forebears. All those have gone before me, but it stops here because God has shined the light on your activity. You have no right. And I demand that you take your paws off of my life because my life belongs to him. I tell you, we have somebody that we can turn to that is, well, you could go on and on. There's so many aspects to this. But I just pray that God will give me a deeper understanding and a soberness of mind. Doesn't he say, be alert and of sober mind? This is not a game. May God give us a sensitivity when we're playing with sin. We're playing with areas where the devil has got a hold on us because we've been weak and we think, oh, that's okay, it's no big deal. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. But all he's doing is digging in a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And I'll tell you, if he gets to a certain point, he's going to say, hey, there's another area of weakness. Hey, devil, come on, help me out here. And you're going to have more and more. The devil never wants less. He always wants more. And if he can afflict God's people and put us in bondage, then we're not much use to the kingdom of God, are we? We're more in need than be able to help somebody else in need. But God has set us free. May God give us the grace to lay hold of this, to realize that both kingdoms are real. We're serving the one that is on top of everything. But we need to recognize how the other one operates and start taking back the ground that we've given him. And we have every right to do that because of the blood of Jesus and the cross. Thank God. So praise God. I'll just leave that with you and let's just pray and ask God to work and to show us. Amen.